This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
Welcome to a Wednesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where the Dame Lillard trade has finally happened. But Dame is not going to Miami. Instead, he's going to be joining Giannis in Milwaukee. It's a three-team trade that just went down that could, it's not even an exaggeration to say, change the big picture in the NBA, change the landscape of things. However, that's not the basketball story I wanted to start with because the ACC released the full basketball schedule last night. The full conference schedule is out, and as it relates to North Carolina, Hubert Davis should be very happy about the draw that he received. The first break they caught was with their ACC opener. It's a home game for starters, and you're facing a team that's probably not one of the five best teams in the conference in Florida State. That isn't to say it won't be a challenge, but it could have been a lot worse. You could play one of those top five teams, and you could be playing away from the Smith Center. That's important that they got a game in that spot, because when you look at the calendar, they needed something manageable during the stretch between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That is the strongest point of their schedule. You knew that there was going to be an ACC game placed during that stretch in all likelihood. It's good that it's a home game. It's good that it's a manageable opponent, because that's the stretch of seven games where you've got Villanova or Texas Tech in their second game in the Bahamas. If they get to the championship or to a third-place game, it's going to be Arkansas or Memphis or even Michigan that you get in the next game in the Bahamas. After that, it's Tennessee in the ACC-SEC Challenge, then this Florida State game, then UConn, the defending champs, in their backyard at Madison Square Garden, then Kentucky and Georgia, and then you're back in Charlotte and you're facing Oklahoma. That's seven straight high major opponents that North Carolina is going to face, and the ACC placed one of the games there, and it's not one of the more difficult games. So that's a break for the Tar Heels. They also don't play a road game until January 2nd at Pitt. They are the only ACC Big Four school without a non-conference road game. NC State's going to Ole Miss. They also got a game thrown in December. Their ACC opener is going to be on the road at Boston College. So two road games
Boston
in December.
Boston College.
Late November, early December for the Wolfpack. Duke is going to Arkansas, then going to Georgia Tech in the same week. Wake Forest, they have a road game at Georgia, a return trip from the game from the home and home that started a year ago that Steve Forbes scheduled. North Carolina, no road games until January the 2nd. That's probably my biggest concern with the schedule for North Carolina, because you got a team with a lot of moving parts on it, a lot of different players that are there, and the first time you go on the road, it's going to be a three-game road trip. Three straight road games, and you're not playing any easy teams. Pittsburgh's given North Carolina tons of problems the last 2 years. Jeff Capel's team will start that three-game road trip, and then they go to Clemson, who is a dark horse in the league, and NC State's very good as well. Those are the three road games that North Carolina has to open up their road slate for the year and kick off 2024. They also won't have to get on a plane until the final 3 weeks of the regular season. Like, if you want to spin it back positively, again, I think North Carolina received a favorable conference draw. They don't have to get on a plane the final 3 weeks of the season. Four of the last six are at home, and the road games are regional at Virginia and at Duke. That's what North Carolina is dealing with. So when you get out the yellow notepad, or in this case, the white notepad I have in front of me here, and you start charting down the pros and cons, the pros outweigh the cons. Your schedule is your schedule. You knew who the opponents were going to be, but the way that the ACC laid it out, I think, did North Carolina a lot of favors. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show, and he's still trying to process the Dame trade that just happened. It's not Miami, but Dame should be cool with this too, right?
You would hope so, because, I mean, Dame and Giannis getting together, you know, it's the two stars
that was probably ridiculed the most in the league for being in a small market where it's like, oh, if you go to the Knicks, you go to the Lakers, you go to the Clippers, you could have more. And you know what? They just said, screw it, we'll do it together.
Nobody ever says that about Jokic. Nobody says that
not now
about the foreign guys. They just don't really do that. Or I guess they kind of do, like you said, with Giannis, but it hasn't really intensified yet. Maybe Dame's sitting there thinking, man, Milwaukee doesn't have beaches. There's no state income tax in Miami. Not so much in Milwaukee. We'll circle back to that trade shortly. The Carolina Panthers received more bad news last night. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, starting safety Xavier Woods is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. And while Frank Reich wouldn't confirm that timeline earlier today, he did say it's not day-to-day with X. Here's what Panther fans need to understand. This level of injury problems, this level of an injury bug is not normal. This is excessive. They are literally losing starters to significant injuries every single week. I mean literally, literally, not like the way teenagers use it. Literally each week, they are losing starters to significant deals here. Austin Corbett and Marquise Haynes started the season on IR. The week after that, it was J.C. Horn added to that list and Brady Christensen.
Send me that cash out, family.
That's after week one. After week two, Shaq Thompson. He's lost for the year with a significant deal, a significant ankle injury. And now Xavier Woods is likely going to be put on IR? You're talking about six starters there. That's like a fourth of the starters, more than a fourth of the starters that you get, offense and defense. And that's just the IR guys. Bryce Young's missed a game already. DJ Chark, he's missed a game already. Frankie Luvu didn't practice today. Jonathan Mingo, he's in the protocol. Come on. Here's the good news. Bryce Young, he should return to play this week. Frank Reich said that he did practice and then said this.
There's probably, we're going to get to the point here in the year where there's probably a few players that are 100% anymore. So, it doesn't have to be 100%, but he just needs to be able to function and play, winning football. And again, that will come down to asking him how he feels, watching him on the practice field, talking to the doctors and trainers, looking at, how his ankle responds. I'm not fretting over it. It's going to play itself out, and we're confident however it plays itself out.
Yeah, it's going to work itself out. In other words, if he's not 100%, but he's practicing, he's going to play. He's our quarterback. We took him number one in the draft, so you should expect him to play against the Vikings. But when you look at the overall season picture, if the amount of turnover on this roster wasn't enough, if the 0-3 start wasn't enough, hopefully the injuries will be the deal breaker for you in realizing this is a rebuilding season. It's not salvageable for them to get back into the playoff mix. That might sound crazy to you after just three games, but with all that's new and a new coaching staff and a rookie quarterback starting and all these injuries and starting 0-3, it's just not feasible to think that that should be the goals that you set. Now, things can become incredibly positive if Bryce Young turns out to be the guy and he starts playing well and he stays healthy, he doesn't get injured anymore. That could make this an incredibly positive season. But from a wins and losses perspective, from a wins perspective, namely, that's not salvageable anymore because this injury problem, it's not normal. It's excessive. The two big stories of the day, I think, are the ACC schedule release where we'll get into, we talked about North Carolina, we'll get into Wake Forest, we'll get into Duke, we'll get into NC State as well. We'll get into the ACC Big Four schedules. Individually, we have Duke and College game day. That's a huge topic this week, and they're facing Notre Dame. Jamion Franklin is the defensive tackle for Duke who played at Notre Dame a few years ago. So a big week for him. He'll join the show in about 20 minutes. The Dame Lillard trade's obviously a big deal. Stewart in Greensboro is going to start us off here with, from a phone's perspective, what are your thoughts on North Carolina's schedule and the Dame trade?
In terms of Carolina as a fan and a season ticket holder, I like the fact there was only one 9 o'clock midweek game.
Yeah.
And the rest of them started 7 and on Saturday, so that's really good.
To hold you up real quick, that is a big thing people don't talk about. Like, when you look at NC State's schedule, seven games they have start 9 o'clock or later. Seven.
Yeah, that's a big deal, because a lot of folks, especially if it's midweek, may not come to the games at 9 o'clock if it's Boston College or someone they feel like they should beat, and that doesn't give the team that competitive advantage. So I like the fact that the games are 7 o'clock. Now, it may be difficult getting in there to Chapel Hill at 7 o'clock coming from Greensboro, but I'm pretty pleased with that.
Real quick, who won the Dame trade?
I think Phoenix did, and I'll tell you why. With Jokic, he's a guy that doesn't need the ball like Ate does. They were going to lose him at the end, probably down the road anyway. I think that's good. And also they got a Duke and Carolina guy. They got Little and Grayson Allen, which gives them some more depth. So I think Phoenix turned out well, but all of them turned out well, really. I think it was a good win-win-win for everyone.
Yeah. I'm with you, Stuart. Thank you so much for the call. For those who don't know the particulars of the trade just yet, Dame Lillard is now a Milwaukee Buck. The Suns, as Stuart was alluding to, received Yusef Nurkic from Portland. It's a three-team trade, Phoenix, Milwaukee, and Portland. Yusef Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nassir Little, and Keon Johnson go Phoenix's way. The Portland Trailblazers get Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, some guy named Tumani Kamara, not going to pretend to know who that is, a 2029 unprotected first from Milwaukee, an unprotected pick swap with Milwaukee in 2028 and 2030, and, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks get Dame Lillard. That's how it all shook out.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
You can listen to Duke football on WSJS. Game day is in Durham this week for the first time. It's Notre Dame and Duke in primetime Saturday. And it's just fitting I got my Baltimore Orioles stuff on today, because our next guest is the pride of Maryland, who just so happens to be one of the defensive leaders on the Duke football team. It's Jamion Franklin with us. Jamion, let me know if I've got my facts right. You're from a place called Ridgely, Maryland. They call that the Ridge, right?
Yeah, you got that right for sure.
All right. We're talking about the Ridge out that way. Does that mean you have a soft spot at least in your heart for my Baltimore Orioles? I've got to ask.
I mean, yeah, I definitely would say that. I mean, I never really got into baseball too much, but my dad is like all about the Orioles. So, I definitely watched a few games with him.
I'm sure your dad's been very happy this year, the way that they've been playing. In the opener against Clemson, I remember you were involved on that blocked field goal, which reminds me of a story your old high school coach, Coach Neal, once told me. He said you were playing for Caroline in Maryland, and he said there was a game against Parkside where you were being blocked by both a tight end and a tackle on a punt, yet used both of them essentially as dummies to push them back into the punter and block a punt. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget it. It's the one and only touchdown I've ever scored in my life. I blocked the punt, took it, and scored. So that's not really something you'll ever forget, honestly.
That's the only touchdown you've had in your life?
Yeah, that's the only one, and I hold on to it dearly.
All right, fat boy touchdown this weekend. Let's see if we can get it against Notre Dame. You spent your first few years at Notre Dame, and the man who recruited you to go to South Bend was some guy named Mike Elko, then Irish defensive coordinator. What do you remember about those initial visits with Coach Elko?
I remember him being the same guy that he is now, now being my head coach. I know that we had a full circle moment when he first got here and got the job. But the visits were great. He came to my hometown originally and really made an effort to get to know me and really set out the plan for me and his defense and everything. So it was great to get to know him, and it's awesome to see how he hasn't changed one bit.
It is kind of crazy, because some would just assume that, oh, you went to Duke to follow Coach Elko there. No, you never played for Coach Elko at Notre Dame. He left for A&M before you ever could, and you were already playing for Duke when he got the job. So you describe it as a full circle moment. What was your reaction when you found out that the guy who once recruited you was going to be your head coach?
I mean, I was ecstatic, obviously. I missed out on an opportunity to play for him. He's one of the main reasons that I committed to Notre Dame in the first place. Just getting to know him and envisioning the plan of playing nose guard in his defense was very eye-catching to me. But It was crazy. You know, I remember vividly we were on a Zoom. We had a surprise, like, emergency team meeting on Zoom. We all assumed the announcing of a coach, and I just see Mike Elko pop up, and I'm like, no freaking way. So from that point forward, it's been everything that I anticipated.
Especially in the transfer portal era, you hear about coaches having to re-recruit their roster when they first arrive. Probably an easy sell for Coach Elko to you, but were you serving as a coach almost saying, guys, I know this person, this guy's legit?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as everybody, like, it's crazy because we're in a virtual space on Zoom, but you know, you feel all the eyes look at you in your camera box when that Mike Elko pops up because they knew that we had history. So, yeah, I was definitely like, guys, just buckle up, you know. I know what this guy's about. I know what he's bringing to the table, and, you know, just be ready for an exciting ride.
It's Jamion Franklin that's with us here from the Duke football team. As we mentioned with the transfer portal, you're going to see it more and more, players going up against their former teams that they were once at. You're going to experience it this week. Does that add a chip at all, or is that something people like me on the outside overhype?
I'd say it's a bit of an overhype. I mean, the way that I see it, I'm more Duke than I am Notre Dame. I was 3 years there and 3 years here, but I got my degree from here. So, I mean, I'm a Blue Devil. Obviously, there's still a few guys that I know there, and I have the utmost respect for them, but I don't really, you know, play it up or overhype it any one bit. You know, it's another game for me. It's another game for this defense and this team, and it's an opportunity that we don't take lightly.
You mentioned your degree. Speaking of what us media types do, I see your degree at Duke is in policy, journalism, and media studies. That's part of your degree. What's your level of interest in the media?
I'm very, very interested in the media. I always see myself being like an analyst on TV or something like that. I never really thought about like fiddling around with like a podcast or something like that. But, you know, as I watch those Kelce brothers do it, it seems like it's a lot of fun. So I might get into that in the future. But yeah, I've always been interested in like using my skill set as being a very social and active person and just transitioning that into staying in the world of sports.
Given the Kelce brothers, does that mean you've gotten into Taylor Swift in the last week? Is that right?
You know, I might have played Shake It Off a few times.
But I guess since you're interested in sports media, does that mean you're going to be finding time Saturday morning to watch College Game Day?
I might. My roommate, Dwayne Carter, he's like a ritual guy. He always has it up on his iPad when we're getting ready to get the day going. So I might watch it a little bit.
Yeah, because I always hear from players when you play in prime time, everybody has their rituals, has their routines. But when it's a night game, what exactly does that day routine look like? Because it's a lot of time before kickoff.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, man. I love playing on prime time, but I hate how long the day goes until we get to put on the pads and actually play. I just try to clear my head. I listen to music most of the day, watch some film, get up on the tip sheet, and, you know, just see how I can get an edge to play the game and get advantages. But I got to tell you, man, I'm a big 3:30 kind of guy, you know, faster. You get the night, but, you know, I love playing night games. It's just the long buildup is what sucks the most.
How early is too early, given where things are going? Because the biggest game in college football, other than your game, is USC in Colorado, and they're having that game local time in Boulder, kicking off at 10 a.m. Like, is that too early for Jamion Franklin?
Yeah, that might be a bit early. I mean, we practice really early anyway, but there's a difference between a game and a practice, so that might be a bit too early.
All right, just taking note of it. Jamion, let's hope this is foreshadowing for a block punt or a touchdown, your first career collegiate touchdown or something of the sort this week against the Irish. Best of luck. Congrats on the success so far this year, and we'll see you Saturday night.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this platform and opportunity.
Ezra Zowers, Jamion Franklin from Duke joining us. Big dude. Big dude's got to eat, which has me thinking, you know how to distract me around here, because right before the segment started, literally seconds before the microphones turned on, somebody, more specifically Lisa, who works here, pops in and brings in this delicious French dip. Or I assume to be delicious French dip from Midtown Cafe in Winston-Salem. And what Lisa does not know is that I am a fan of Midtown Cafe and Dessertery, namely the Dessertery part. Oh my goodness, they have that bar over there of desserts that just you can't walk out without. grabbing something, and it's at a great location in Stratford. I have not had their French dip before. So, WD, you have some too?
I sure do. Of course. They hook both of us up.
You know, WD's got some too.
I don't think I've ever had French dip
at all.
Spicy
fries? You've never had a French dip before?
No.
All right. Well, I mean, it's cheese and you got, do you have the sauce? That's important.
I do, I think.
Okay. See, I could do without, but since you've never had it before, I mean, the dip. Yeah, the emphasis on the dip. That's an important piece here, but
right.
I can do without it for now. Let's take a bite. Ooh, the cheese. The cheese. Mmm. Right. That's the key.
We're going to give this a test run.
All right.
Yep.
WD's never had a French dip before.
Nope.
Mmm. What do you think?
Mmm.
Yeah. It's good. They serve breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner. I think they open as early as 7 a.m. I've sat on the outdoor patio, had some coffee.
Ooh,
Sarah Bradford and I. Yeah. So it's right down the way.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the folks at Midtown Cafe and Dessertery. They're family owned and been around for a while now. We're going to enjoy this food as you can as well.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham. WSJS.
Okay, we have fair tickets that we're giving away today. Does Kyle, the Amazon driver, want to give those away, or does he have something else?
He wants to be positive.
Oh, we got weekly positivity to do in a second. That's a good setup for that. If you'd like to go to the Carolina Classic Fair or win tickets to go, or vouchers to go eat some Biscuit King in High Point, you get both by calling in and telling us something good. I think it's about $10 voucher. It's good for some biscuits. Multiple biscuits.
Biscuits.
Yeah, in High Point. And then you get a pair of tickets to the Carolina Classic Fair, whatever day you care to go to. All you have to do is call in and tell us something good at 336-777-1600. Some programming notes. Jeffrey Griffin, he's got the Duke-Notre Dame tickets and a parking pass that he'll be giving away either tomorrow or on Friday on Try It Today. So make sure you're listening in order to win those. My guess is he'll give them away on Friday. Also on Friday, he will be broadcasting from the fair. So if you'd like to see Jeffrey, see him there. We will be broadcasting from the fair Monday and Thursday.
It's live action, Tracy.
Of next week. So plan accordingly. 336-777-1600. It is time for weekly positivity. She thinks Brooks Robinson is the greatest third baseman ever. So do you. 336-777-1600. Let's go to Kyle the Amazon driver. Hi, Kyle.
Hello, Josh. How are you?
Let me think for a second. I'm good.
That's very good. Now, I know you asked a question 2 days ago about College Game Day and your fat head in Durham.
Yeah.
I am very sad to say that Amazon will not play ball with me that day on this deal. However, when we no longer want to play ball, what do? We find a whole nother field, baby. I'm lying. I'm not leaving Amazon. But I will extend the proverbial olive branch to any one of the graham crackers or anybody that wants to hit us up. I will gladly hand over the fathead to them to take to College Game Day.
Wow. Okay. I'm cool with trying to facilitate this. If anybody would like to do what Kyle the Amazon driver did when College Game Day was in Charlotte, and that's be perched in the background behind Corso with the Josh Graham Boston College
Boston
fathead
College.
That he has. He's offering his fathead to somebody who wants to ride on down to Durham when Notre Dame's in town and hold up the Josh Graham fathead. If you are that person, get at us. I do appreciate you extending that olive branch.
And also, one last thing, I just wanted to note that my son will be in High Point this weekend bowling in his first ever travel bowling tournament. So I'm very excited about that.
Can I tell you a good place that you can eat lunch in High Point potentially?
Well, that depends. Do they have the enormous biscuit?
They do.
Wow, that's so crazy.
There you go. That would be, and they're good. And you got yourself a $10 voucher to that, and perhaps some fair tickets as well. So enjoy that. Best of luck with the bowling tournament, and hopefully someone takes you up on the College Game Day offer, Kyle.
You all. Goodbye.
There he goes, Kyle, the Amazon driver. I love what you've written on my screen here. Rather than Kyle the Amazon driver, you have Kyle the Amazon. And that's really how I feel about Kyle. He's great, like the Amazon forest.
He is. Short, sweet, and to the point.
Tell me something good.
Well, speaking of the fair, you know, unlike last year, I'm actually going to try a good amount of these fair foods this year. I'm going to do that.
Yeah?
And apparently there's some new things coming.
What's on the menu at the fair?
So I've got five things here that I'd like to potentially try.
Do they have the cotton candy funnel cake again? Is that one of those things?
I don't know if it... Well, this is all new things that's coming. Okay. So I'm sure they'll have the regulars.
I didn't know if that was a regular, so I was just...
I don't either.
All right, what are some of the things that we might be eating at the fair next
week? So there's something called gummy ramen noodles.
No chance.
I'm going to check that out.
Okay.
Yeah. They also have something called sugar waffles.
What is a sugar waffle?
I'm guessing it's waffles that has like the funnel cake stuff and sugar on it.
I thought waffles normally have sugar on top of it.
I don't think so.
Like you have the powdered sugar that you put on waffles.
Is that right?
Usually.
I usually put syrup on mine.
You can do both.
You put sugar on waffles?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, what else?
So they also have something coming called Carolina. It's a Carolina Classic barbecue bomb.
What's a Carolina Classic barbecue bomb?
I have no idea, but I'm very interested. I don't know what any of this stuff is. I'm just telling you it's intriguing.
Oh, you're just
to me.
Reading the titles.
Well, no, yes, and it's things that are intriguing to me. Like that. What is a barbecue bomb? What does that look like? I don't know. We're going to find out. They also have something coming called an apple pie macchiato.
Apple pie macchiato?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then lastly, you know, I'm a big coffee guy, which the macchiato, that is coffee. But another one they've got, sparkling espresso.
Wow.
I'm going to try it.
We have one more
pair
of tickets to the fair that we have that comes with a Biscuit King voucher, too.
God, enormous biscuit.
336-777-1600. I'll tell you something. Good. Orioles, baby. Birds.
Birds.
Tonight could be the night.
The magic number is 2 now, isn't it?
It's 2. But if the Red Sox win at Fenway against those Tampa Rays, those dastardly Rays, the Orioles... with Grayson Rodriguez on the hill, win at Oriole Park tonight, they win the AL East.
What a story your birds are.
Oh, it's a great story. They have 98 wins. We're 2 wins away from 100. It's an amazing season that Baltimore has enjoyed. And that is good.
Wow.
And that's been Weekly Positivity.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
We need to make sure our guy's okay. Sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, because he's coming off of a tough weekend. He's still crestfallen after his beloved Colorado Buffaloes got whacked and his Dallas Cowboys had a bad loss in Arizona. B-Dot is now with us. We need to talk about this trade, though. It's a three-team trade. Dame Lillard's now a Milwaukee Buck. You're talking about Drew Holiday, who's probably going to get flipped somewhere else, going back to Portland, in addition to they land, who they got Ayton from Phoenix, that's going back to Portland as well. There's a lot of moving pieces here, but who won the trade?
I think Phoenix won the trade.
Really? You're the second person to say it. I don't get it.
I think Phoenix getting up off of DeAndre Ayton, that was big for them. Like, they were trying to restructure his contract, and that was one of the main reasons why Chris is now a Golden State Warrior, because of DeAndre Ayton. So getting him out of Phoenix was big business. He was playing well during the season, but much like my Dallas Cowboys, when it came to the playoffs, he went missing. And I like the fact, this is the Tar Heel bias in me, I love the fact that Nasir Little is over there in Phoenix.
Grayson Allen too, right? You're jacked about that.
Not so much, but Nasir Little, I think that really helps them with depth and athleticism. Listen, Grayson Allen, as a Tar Heel, definitely don't like him being a Dookie. But Buddy can fill it up when he gets hot. So at that guard position, I think that definitely helps them, especially with that three-headed monster that they got over there with KD, Book, I'm drawing a blank, but you know.
Oh, you're talking about Bradley Beal. So everybody, I feel like, is saying Milwaukee won the trade, and I get it. If you get the star, you won the trade. I'm actually going from Portland's end of it, in that you get to, this doesn't drag on into the regular season where you have your future guy in Scoot Henderson and Dame Lillard trying to coexist. That would be very awkward. You got to move him off to a place where you still did right by Dame. You sent him to a contender. It's not where he wanted to go, but you're sending him to a place where he could still win. And you got a first back. You got two swaps back. You got a guy who's going to fit really nicely with the type of player Scoot is, with DeAndre Ayton. And if you keep Drew around, that's a good guy to have too. Or you can add more stuff by moving him as well. I think the fact that Portland didn't cave to Miami and to the public pressure to send him there for less than what they got here means it's a huge win for Portland. And they moved off one of the worst contracts in the NBA in Yusef Nurkic. So that, I think, all boiled together, you can make a good, compelling case that Portland won too.
I like Drew Holiday actually headed to, in some weird fate of events, headed to Miami, and Miami beating Milwaukee in seven games.
Now, this is interesting here, because don't forget, Milwaukee's getting a player that Miami really wanted. It was Miami that beat Milwaukee in the playoffs this year. And don't forget, a month ago, this wasn't like private conversation. This is Giannis, who was eligible to sign an extension, telling the New York Times, I'm not going to sign unless they signal to me that they're in it to try and win. And what better signal of telling your star that than bringing Dame Lillard in? So I would expect in short order that you're going to get a Giannis extension sometime soon that comes from this as well. That's a big piece of the puzzle too. But let me ask you this. Right now, betting odds, they tend to fluctuate with the public. When the Bradley Beal deal happened, there were some books that had, despite the fact Denver just won the title, they had Phoenix as the favorite to win.
Send me that
now,
cash out, family.
Going into the day, Denver was the favorite. Now it's Milwaukee. Who do you think should be the favorite?
I think with the firepower, you got to go Milwaukee. Oh. I love Denver. I love Joker. I love Jamal Murray. They are a force, a tandem. I'm interested to see what Golden State can do over there with CP. But just on face value, just reading the box scores and just looking at the starters, the Milwaukee Bucks won a championship in less than 3 years with much less talent. Now they add Dame and they keep everything else. If Chris Middleton can stay healthy, Giannis can stay healthy. You got Brooke Lopez. They're tough. They're very, very tough. So I can understand why they will be the favorites, but I'll be very interested in seeing how the finals match up with them, maybe versus the Celtics, with them versus, I know Joel Embiid has got them on the horn. Like, what are we doing with James Harden? I just like the way the NBA is shifting up right now with all these different storylines. Next year is going to be very dramatic, Josh Graham.
And practices start in less than a week. I still think Denver should be the favorite, just because they have everybody coming back. Respect
fair,
to the finals.
You can have the argument, and I wouldn't bat an eye to it.
Yeah. Any anything stand out on the Tar Heel schedule?
Kicking off 2024 is going to be a beast. You know, we get to start off at home with Florida State, but then that's January 2nd through 10th. Like, what, we're at Clemson. We're
at Pittsburgh, at Clemson, at NC State.
Like, I'm like, that's going to be a rough, you know, ride that first week of 2024.
And here's the thing. I'm glad you highlight that, because those are the first road games of the year. North Carolina is the only Big Four school that does not have a non-conference road game. So they're going to go on the road for the first time, and it's going to be three straight road games. So that's the point of the schedule that caught my attention too.
I definitely circled February 3rd. Of course, those Duke guys come into town. February 17th is going to be a very fun game when Virginia Tech and Tyler Nickell come to town. And I'm very upset that we don't have Pitt at home this year. This was I'm very interested. I don't know how that happened. Maybe you can explain that to me, Josh. But Pitt and Duke are the only two teams that I have not beaten. Well, not I have not, but we have not beaten since I've been.
You're
the
sixth man. You're a sixth man. You could say we haven't beaten. Yeah, no doubt. Well, the schedule it rotates where the teams that you play twice, it rotates. You have the permanent teams you play twice, and obviously Duke is one of those for North Carolina. NC State's one of those for North Carolina, but Pitt's not. So this year you only get them once, and you can kind of look at the opponents and figure out which schools have an advantage based on who they play twice and who they only play once. Like when you look at Duke's schedule, for example, Clemson's supposed to be really good this year, and they only play them once, and it's going to be in Cameron. They only play Miami once, and you know how good Miami can be. They only play Virginia once. So that's something, if you want to look at it on Duke's end, there's some advantages to that. NC State, I think, caught a lot of bad breaks with the way that their schedule fell. Wake Forest just wanted a home game to open up in ACC play. They got that, and they don't have one of the local rivals playing while the students are out on break, so that's a win too. I think that's a pretty extensive breakdown of the basketball schedules here. How about we get to the thing people are clamoring for, and that's grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they've got no ceiling. But the ceiling is the roof. You always remember that.
Yeah, I got something to bribe the listeners with. We've got a $10 gift voucher to Biscuit King in High Point. And that's going to be paired with a pair of tickets to the Carolina Classic Fair. If you can help me out with one of these grammar school questions. I do have a caucastic question to open you up with. You ready? You ready, Dot?
Let's do it.
What is a French dip?
What is a French dip?
Yeah.
French dip is like a dip that you put your chips and stuff in. French dip, like it's chip. Dip for chips, right?
Give him the X.
What?
The French dip. It's a sandwich. It's a type of sandwich that a lot of my friends in the urban community don't know a lot about. That has au jus sauce that you dip into. It's like a sandwich. And WD had a French dip for the first time today.
I did. It was quite delicious. But isn't that kind of a double-ended question? Isn't there an actual French dip that is a dip, though? What am I thinking of? See, that I can understand this.
If you search French dip, the sandwich is going to come up.
Oh, that's yeah. People, I'm looking at it.
That's what it is. Like a French dip, it's a type of sandwich. It's
no, Josh, I get Ruffles potato chips, and I get French dip, and I get my Ruffles potato chips in the French dip sauce. What the hell are we talking about?
It's French onion. So
French onion. That's I was thinking what it was. French onion.
That's what I was thinking about.
French dip. You can look that one up after the fact, but that certainly qualifies as a caucastic question. What's the first thing we got?
Hey, those caucastic words, boy, I tell you. All right. Here we go, Josh Graham. What does it mean to pull up on you? If someone says, I'm going to pull up on you, what does that mean?
I know this one, I think. I think I know this one. Pull up on you? Mm-hmm. I think that means I'm ready to fight.
Yes!
That's it. I'm going to pull up on you. I'm ready. I'm ready to do battle, in a sense.
You know, what's crazy is I really didn't even mean it in that context. I really meant it as just, I'm just going to come see you. I'm going to come to, like, you're going to be somewhere. I'm going to pull up on you. But you are exactly right, because depending on the tone, if somebody says, hey, well, say less, Josh, I'm about to pull up on you.
Yeah.
You might be ready to fight, Josh Graham. I'm going to give you that. Correct.
Hey,
yes.
There we go.
Yes!
This is like, it's like the Dave Chappelle game show on Chappelle's Show. I know black people, where there's the one guy who will say a completely different answer than everyone else. And he's like, well, somehow that is correct. Like, everybody, like, I think one of the questions was, is pimping easy? And everybody's like, no, it's not. And then this guy goes, hell yeah. Somehow that is correct. Yeah, I guess you just got to figure out.
Hey,
context.
Speaking of Dave Chappelle, I did an interview with Wayne Brady this morning.
No.
I wanted to ask him about Dave Chappelle, but the way the conversation was going, I used my better judgment and did not.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a... Okay, what is the next one?
All right. What does it mean if somebody says they're going to run down on you?
Run down on you?
Yeah, we just said what happens if they're going to pull up on you, and that's pulling up. But what happens if they run down? If someone's going to run down on you, what does that mean?
336-777-1600.
Help!
Help! We have a pair of tickets to the fair. We've got...
Ooh, cotton candy.
Yeah. You could rattle off some of the things that people might expect new items at the Carolina Classic Fair.
Yeah, gummy ramen noodles.
What?
Gummy ramen. So, like, gummies, but it's ramen noodles.
We heard
noodles.
You the first three times.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Barbecue bomb.
I don't know what that is, but
it
sounds delicious. And also, there's you can get a Biscuit King voucher, too, if people want to help me. Run down on you.
336-777-1600. Josh needs help.
Run down on you. Okay. I'm going to use WD real quickly. Actually, we'll go to the phones. Last week, I feel bummed out because I went to the phones and they had kind of agreed with each other. And then I struck out. I still salvaged it in one last week. I remember when I win, but
yeah.
Who am I going to here?
I'm going to go to Artie.
Okay, Artie. What's it mean for someone to run down on you?
They're going to criticize you.
Oh, like knock you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Run you down.
I like that, Artie. Thanks so much. So, I feel like at times people can run down on me in that context. Is that correct, Dot?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is 100% incorrect.
No, Artie!
Yeah.
You could still give him the Biscuit King and all that if he wants it, but...
Yeah. Run down on you means catch you slipping and rob you, Josh Graham. Yeah. You don't want the boys to run down on you, brother. You
understand
what I'm saying? If the fellas will say, hey, yo, we about to run down on WD, you need to stop them because they about to take all of the money out of WD. They about to hold him by his ankles and shake him like this.
I wish they would.
So they can pull up on you and then run down on you.
Exactly, Josh Graham.
Okay, what's the last one? I need to try and win this one here.
All right, this is rap trivia, okay? Oh. Not music trivia, rapper trivia. This is no music, so don't sit back and get all excited. What Atlanta rapper had the snowman t-shirts banned from schools in the early 2000s. Again, what Atlanta rapper had snowman t-shirts banned from schools in the early 2000s?
All right, let's go through the Atlanta Rolodex. We're going Jermaine Dupri. We're going with Big Boy and Andre 3000. We're going through. I don't know why I'm writing this down.
Me either.
I don't know what that's going to net me at all. Wow. It is an extensive.
Those are the only three rappers from Atlanta you always name, too. Those three. Jermaine Dupri, Andre, and Big Boy.
Ludacris. I mean, I can go through more if you'd like me to go through more.
No, it's not important. Just tell me that one.
Do you want me to go to Dave?
I do.
Does Dave know the answer?
He seems to.
Okay, Dave. Who is it?
Jeezy! Young Jeezy!
I love how he's like, Josh needs help right now. Jeezy! Jeezy! I put on for my city! I put on for my radio show! Jeezy!
Is that your final answer?
Given how overwhelming that was, yes.
That is 100% correct. It is Young Jeezy, man. He Burr. Has a snowman banned from school.
Burr! Right. Burr!
No, Burr is not snowman.
Oh, wait,
Burr
that's Gucci. Sorry.
And Gucci and the snowman hate each other, so don't ever say Burr around Jeezy or he'll run down on you.
Or Limon. I won't do that either. There you go. Hey, I got about 1 minute here, Dot.
Okay.
Were you cool with Usher getting the halftime show?
I am, man. I'm a big Usher fan. My wife wants to go out there to see the residency in Vegas. I want to take her for her birthday next month or so. But I'm a huge Usher fan in that regard. I think he's going to have a stellar performance and bring out some heavy-hitting celebrities with him. I think it's going to be a great show, Josh.
What's your favorite Usher song?
You don't have to call. It's okay, girl, because I'm going to be all right tonight. Let me ask you this. As a Swiftie, how do you like the Travis Kelce situation?
Love it, man. Are you
really
kidding me? This is amazing.
My
really
wife
is.
Hates it. My wife hates it. You know she's a huge Chiefs
so
fan.
So does Brittany Mahomes and Jackson Mahomes, probably. They probably, probably. They probably hate it, too. Why are all the cameras no longer focused on our suite?
Hey, why is nobody in our booth?
if Usher doesn't play Burn, we riot. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, Dot. Love you, man. Talk to you next week.
I love you back, man. Appreciate you. WD!
You're the man, Dot.